everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Got a great program for you tonight lined up and ready to go. We're going to talk about the subject tonight of law versus grace. Is there a conflict? Is something to be interpreted? Is there a different covenants operating under the two books, the Old and the New Covenant? Are we involved in transition, or do we have to keep both aspects of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? Well, these are the pertinent questions, and we believe that we've got the pertinent answers. And the reason why that we believe so is because that the Bible tells us so. Now, we're going to go into some of the texts involved in the Bible here on March the 3rd, ladies and gentlemen. We are, or March the 2nd, moving into March the 3rd on our calendar. But here we are in March already. Passover will be coming up in May the 18th. We'll have a foot washing at Murphy, North Carolina, where we will be gathering on the 18th of May. 19th, we will begin Passover. So, ladies and gentlemen, make your reservations to be with us in Murphy, North Carolina. Call Pastor Buddy and let me know that if you plan to attend, so that we can make accommodations for you there in Murphy, North Carolina. Now, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Messiah, Yahweh, in a flesh body. John 1:17. The most obvious and striking division of the word of truth is that relationship that we cannot separate between law and grace. Now, it's going to be vital to observe what the Scripture does. It never, and what I want to emphasize is this, it never mingles the two principles. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that by the law, we came about as students, service to the flesh man. By the Spirit, that birth, that Holy Spirit given, we became nigh unto Him by a different covenant. We're going to talk about that. Did you know that the law of God is prohibiting and it is requiring? Did you know that the grace of Yahweh is beseeching and bestowing? Did you know that the law is a ministry of condemnation and grace is a ministry of forgiveness? Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, the law curses and grace redeems from that curse. Law kills and grace makes alive. Well, it's obvious, ladies and gentlemen, that we need the grace. But we're going to show you tonight that the Bible says that the law shuts every mouth before God as man becomes guilty in his feeble attempt. Remember, the Bible said you can keep it in all of its points and yet offend in one. You broke them all. So, the law shuts every mouth before Yahweh. Grace opens every mouth to praise Him. Oh my. Law puts a great and a guilty distance between man and the Creator. But grace makes guilty man come nigh to Yahweh. Law says to do and to live. Grace says believe and live. Law never had a missionary. Grace is to be preached to all of the house of Jacob, even to them that are scattered abroad. Law utterly condemns the very best man. Grace freely justifies the worst. Now let me come back here and repeat that, because that is an awesome way to look at things as we're going to sort between the two covenants. Law. I would have not known sin except the law had said, Paul said. Law is a system that utterly condemns the best man. I give you the law and none of you kept it, said the Messiah. But grace freely justifies the worst. Oh, my. Law is a system of probation. Grace is a law of love and favor. Law stones an adulteress, but grace says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Under the law, the sheep dies at the hand of the shepherd. Under grace, the shepherd dies for the sheep. Oh my. I just can't say it no better. Under the law, the sheep dies at the hand of the shepherd. But under grace, the shepherd dies for the sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, can you comprehend the depth and the breadth and the height of while we were yet in our sins, everybody became guilty in sin before the Creator and the prosecuting attorney, the attorney, was Satan himself, who was actually the accuser under the law, because the law could make nothing perfect. There was always a spot or a blemish. And so then, Satan, the prosecuting attorney, could come in and present the law and teach from the book of the law that there was none worthy. Now then, heaven was searched for a worthy subject. Well then, the earth was searched. No one found. Then beneath the earth was searched. No one found. And then Yahweh, the righteous judge, said himself, behold, I will come and save you. I will come as the good shepherd and lay down my life on behalf of the atonement of a blood found worthy. So then, ladies and gentlemen, you see, now, by the mediator, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body stood in your place, literally, where you couldn't go, where you couldn't walk, where you couldn't talk. He stood where you could not stand. And by standing for you, he laid down his life. But the glorious power was that he took it up again. Now, do you know that the Bible says that there are certain men crept in unawares who before were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Yahweh and Savior, Jude, verse 4. Now, who were these ungodly men creeping in unaware? Well, these are the men that would tell you that you must be circumcised and keep the law. when they deny that someone come to keep it on your behalf. That's as simple as I can make it. Yahweh came that he might make you an overcomer. You couldn't overcome. I couldn't overcome. He searched the earth, everything filthy. The Bible said our righteousness. He looked at the righteousness of man and found it to be as filthy rags. And so he done one of the greatest miracles. And grace means unmerited favor. Works means something that you've earned. Now, salvation is not by works, lest any man should boast. But after you get the grace, and you realize and comprehend the great depth of love and suffering that the justifier who stood in for you to stand up for you by laying down his life for the few, that you would love him good enough in return to exceed those things that are commanded by the law. Now look here in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Hear this great prophet, the Apostle Paul, who had come to Jerusalem for the first encounter with the apostolic fathers. Remember, Paul was himself an apostle chosen out of season. You say, oh, that's what he said. You see, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people take issue with Paul simply because he said in Galatians chapter 3, this is what I learn of you after the meeting up in Jerusalem. If you read the whole chapter, the 15, you'll find that the meeting concluded with the right hand of fellowship to this great apostle who had the revelation of the reason of the second covenant. Now, the reason he brought in a second covenant, here's what people won't tell you that try to teach the law. Ladies and gentlemen, the law is one of the most complex pieces. I mean, you talk about Black's Law Dictionary. You talk about the legal volumes of law in the natural. You think about the great Bible that contained the books of the law that was handed down by the prophets, Moses. This only what I learn of you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. I marvel that you are so removed so soon from him that called you into the grace of the Messiah unto another gospel. Some people get the confession of salvation. Then they take it upon themselves to go back under the law and figure out how good they are and how bad everybody else is. They add insult to the righteous blood of the justifier by becoming worthy to condemn others through their works, comparing their works as the Pharisees did against the young man who had no works, was ashamed of his works, wasn't even worthy to lift his head into heaven. And the old righteous Pharisee who despised the righteousness of faith, because they want to hold on to their positions of authority through the earning of their positions in the issue and the verdicts of the law. Ladies and gentlemen, the law is so complex. I've studied the law for 50 years. and it is one of the most complex, controversial, and upsetting bodies of law. It's perfect. That's what's wrong with it. That's why he found fault in the law. It was perfect. And man, who was imperfect, could not, absolutely could not, measure up to the perfection of the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. Sometimes man has added statutes and amendments until the true body of the law had to be interpreted by the Messiah himself, who took daily issue with the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, condemned them for looking down their straight, long nose of self-righteousness. We've got those type today right in our own movement, who feel that they're better and more qualified to condemn rather than to love their brothers and to step up and be weak for the weakest brother, to become weaker than the weakest brother, to strengthen and hold up and to carry the weaknesses of our brothers and sisters. Instead of that, they want to condemn the weaknesses of our brothers and sisters. I marvel that you're so soon removed to another gospel, but there will be some trouble of you that would pervert the gospel of the Messiah. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that which has been preached, which is the outline of the text of what we're about to tell you. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. Romans 7:12. Now, if it's holy, and if it's just and it's good, why in the world did he find a fault with it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the fault was that this perfect set of laws was designed not for the inward man, but for the outward man. And the weakness of the outward man in the flesh body, pride, envy, puffed up, self-righteousness, I'm better than you are. It's always the brother next door that's got a problem, never me. That sort of the thing with the law, and it began to be a good old boys club. If you rose up in prominence and you rose high enough within the ranks of the Sanhedrin that issued the verdicts of the law. You see, the high priest was the final and absolute authority under the Sanhedrin court. So therefore, many injustices, bad judgments, and for the love and praise of others, or for the wealth and the money. Today, ladies and gentlemen, you can take money under the judicial system of America, which is one of the largest judicial systems in the world, has the largest intake of inmates in prison in the world, simply because they have designed so many loopholes to let those with money free. You can take the twisters of the law. That's what a lawyer is, and the Bible says to beware of the lawyers. In this case, it was talking about the spiritual judicial lawyers of the Bible. But those in the natural are not much better. For we know that the law is spiritual. Romans 7:14, I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. See there? The law, being spiritual, was written within the grace and the mercy of judgment, not in the condemnation and the rigidness of the law. So then, man began to immediately misinterpret the reason that Almighty Yahweh gave the law to govern in the house of Israel. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Romans 7:22. I delight in the law of God after the inward, not the outward. You see, the outward man, as he struggles in his best state, is filthy rags. And yet, if he has a good old boys club that he belongs to, and they determine what good and bad is, you see, that's the problem. Now Yahweh has turned it into the inward man, made him free from the law of sin and death, charged him with the responsibility to walk upright and to have a conscience that is not seared with a hot iron, and not let pride and envy and hatred and variance, which is prevalent in so many of these carnal-minded, filthy lucre ministers, as they minister across the land for the filthy lucre, or a position of high authority. 1 Timothy 1:8, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You see, the clients of the law, those who had studied it, Pharisees and the scribes, Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah in a flesh body, took issue, the very God of the universe, the Creator of all of the world, had to knock the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee, out of the house of Benjamin. Paul was not a Jew. For anyone to think that shows their ignorance and corruption of the character of the Apostle Paul, who suffered more at the hands of the Jews outside of the Messiah. There was not a man in shoe leather that suffered at the hands of the Jews more than the Apostle Paul. So then, the 15th chapter, oh, you say, well, we don't believe in anything that Paul wrote, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. We just believe in the Old Testament. We'll just rip it out. But what are you going to do with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Yahweh himself is taking the position of Paul to defend the poor, the downtrodden, and the outcast against the scribes and the Pharisees, which is what Paul's punishment was after he was converted from the Sanhedrin court system of a Pharisee from the house of Benjamin, not from the house of Judah. He was not a Jew. Anyone to suggest he was a Jew is a liar, and the truth ain't in him. He was out of the house of Rachel. Matter of fact, Benjamin was the last son from the bloodline of Rachel and Jacob. And so then, people that would say that Paul was a Jew, or those who say that all of Israel was Jews, there is no difference in the lying scribes of today in the sacred name that say that all the Jews are wicked and evil, which they are not. Out of the house of Judah, when we use the word Jew, it is a slang word. The first time it's used is in the 16th chapter and the 16th verse of one of the books in the Old Testament. And the word Jew single is used only in first time in the book of Esther. And so then, ladies and gentlemen, they were known as Judites from the house of Judah. And so the house is split, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Paul was a minister chosen to become a Pharisee out of the house of Benjamin, trained in the Sanhedrin court as a Pharisee, perfect. At least he thought he was, until he met the man They gave him the knowledge that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. He was using it unlawfully by killing and assisting in the death and imprisonment of those that were preaching contrary to the Jews' doctrine. And so then, to set the record straight, Pastor Buddy has to come on and bring the scriptures to prove. Here it says, what shall we say? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Romans 7:7. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Even a bad thought is sin. Even the thought of foolishness is sin. And the outward man has plenty of those. Trust me, I know. I wear this outward man every day and have to keep a constant check on the flesh, lest I rise up the leavening of the flesh man and take matters into the hands of flesh. For those who trust in chariots and those who trust in horses and those who trust in their own self-righteousness and those who trust in the lawyers and the scribes, remember this, Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I'm going to repeat that. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the knowledge of sin is one of the things that could get you in big trouble down here upon the earth? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh is coming, and he's coming to a neighborhood near you, and he wants to come and be your friend. He wants to come and forgive you of your sins. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you are baptized in the name of Yahweh, that's for the remission, that's moving and pardoning. Unmerited favor. Grace is applied upon your inward man, not your outward man. Your outward man will go right on making mistakes. Your flesh man will go right on sinning because he's nothing but sin. That's why he's not going where the inward man goes. There's a separation date. And death is the final victory over the flesh man because sin is what kills the flesh. So all that I've ever known dies, and so all must be guilty of sin. But there's a beautiful story here, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh is the one that gives you the grace that is needed for the journey. Don't you know that Yahweh is a strong tower? And the Bible says that the righteous run into it and they are saved. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the way that Yahweh has made for you is the way of the inward man. And the journey for the inward, as long as he has to suffer in the flesh body. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you know that at times your flesh man will rise up, the leaven will rise him up, and he will fall short. We have all sinned and come short. But don't you know that Yahweh wants to save you by his love and grace? Don't you know that his grace abides forever? The flesh is for a moment. Listen to this song, beautiful song, and Miss Linda has queued up for us, and here it is.
What I want was to go with me back to where I started. I know that you are the miracle of love that fills me. It's sweet and great.
Oprah. What a beautiful song Miss Linda has queued up for us here. Just a sinner saved by grace. Ladies and gentlemen, what more would you want to be? Would you want to put your righteousness up against his righteousness? Would you want to stand where he stood? Would you want to go where he went? I don't think you're worthy. Listen to us in the book of 1 John. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. In John 3 and 4, it says that the Messiah was set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. You see, he took your place. Your blood wasn't righteous. Your works wasn't righteousness. You were the sinner. You tried. And Yahweh loved the rich young ruler who had kept all of the commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, very few people could say that. And the Messiah didn't judge him or condemn him, but he told him he lacked one thing yet. He paid the penalty, the Messiah did, for sins that are past. He had to pay for all of the sins of that inward man present. And here is the astounding grace and unmerited favor revelation. He paid also for all of the sins of that inward man's future. Past, present, and future. A clean slate that you could appear with a clean, righteous garment of white before the Creator. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the inward man had a guilt of sin, judged unworthy by the prosecuting attorney, and here is the Messiah coming, manifesting to destroy the works of the devil. What was that work? To take away Satan's power of accusing. That's what he done. For this purpose, whosoever is born of Yahweh does not commit sin. Now, it's the inward man that is born of Yahweh, not the outward. You can't enter the second time, as Nicodemus suggested, as he foolishly asked the question, and him being a ruler of the Jews, the only reason he didn't know, he came to him by night. He wasn't willing to stand up for the truth that the Messiah taught because it was so contrary to the self-righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. What seed? The inward man. That's the seed of purpose. That's the purpose that he came, ladies and gentlemen, to renew the covenant of the inward. Now there is a law for the outward. That's the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do all of these things. Or thou shalt not murder. Killing is okay in certain instances when you have to defend yourself or defend your country or defend your country or your family. That's okay. But murder is another. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Do you know what one of the seven things that our Creator hates the worst under the Pharisee rules and regulations of the Sanhedrin? Self-righteousness of most men and women that are walking the planet today that look down their nose and think they're better than their worst neighbor. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the blood of the Messiah was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. The greatest works the devil could do, which was to bring the accusations against the people of Yahweh, was taken and nailed to the torture stake. The power of the curse had no more jurisdiction over whosoever was born of Yahweh. In this, the children of God, Yahweh in a flesh body, are manifest and the children of the devil. Don't you know that whosoever doeth not righteousness, what is the righteousness? The righteousness is to believe on him whom he hath sent that stood in for you. Your own self-righteousness, something that you think you can do to gain worthy acceptance. Because, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that if it was under the law that had any salvational power to deliver you, and anyone could have kept it, then the Messiah who suffered all of these things in vain? Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of inheritance, that we walk after the Spirit, and therefore we will not practice sin? If you're busy sowing discord, if you're busy trying to exalt yourself above your brother, if you're busy giving out yourself as some great one, as Simon Magnus in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh yes, he believed, he got baptized. So did Judas, the betrayer. We still got those type of people in the movement. They're out for what they can get out of it, and they don't care who they walk on to get there. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, the shoulders that you've climbed up on may be the face that you have to look at when you're drawing your last breath. So remember, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in the Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit of life of the Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It had to be that way, ladies and gentlemen. Freely you have received, so freely share. Don't receive it and then go out and try to change it or the covenant. Because if the law brought salvation, then Christ died in vain. What about this second covenant? Well, we're going to talk about it for the time that we've got left, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about the second covenant that he had to bring. For the Bible says, for all have sinned. That's the reason he needed a second covenant. He found fault with the first covenant. And what was the fault? It was perfect. He said, well, Pastor Buddy, if it was perfect, how can you improve on perfection? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh had to change the perfect covenant to an imperfect covenant, to be merciful instead of judgmental, to forgive rather than condemn, to stand in where you couldn't stand through your righteousness. Listen now. There is a penalty for sin, and for the wages of sin is death. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So he had to die to get your sins remitted and the inward man free from the law of sin and death. Now, the outward man is always bound by the law. As long as he lives, he is under the jurisdiction of the law. O wretched man that we are. Who's going to deliver us? Faith. The faith that we can be justified when we're condemned. Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:4. For there is a penalty of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The Messiah who knew no sin was made to be sin for those who will accept his righteousness and the shed blood as the only sufficient payment for their sins. You can't come with your hands full of bribes as the Pharisees were doing. You can't slip a diseased offering into the bull pens and the sheep pens and the goat pens and then go to the head of the line and demand a good clean animal. Ladies and gentlemen, the Messiah knew that that place down there was nothing but a trading station for the money makers and the money changers, and that's why he drove them out, because they had misinterpreted the perfection of the law to try to become perfect in the flesh. When you say that you sinned, you have not known Yahweh, for there is no law that can be kept in order to establish one's own righteousness. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and 10. No man has ever fulfilled the righteous obligation to the law to the point that he has not known sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the knowledge of the law is to bring the knowledge of sin. You wouldn't have known it except it said, thou shalt not. Ladies and gentlemen, Romans 7 and 7 will tell you, as it did in Romans 3:23, for we've all sinned. Now, they got us all under the law condemned. Now that the law has condemned us, we need a new covenant. This is the covenant without sin that will appear to you without sin. This is the second covenant of grace. And I'll quote this as I've got to bring this to a close, for I have longed to preach on this message because some of our brothers and sisters get so far out that they need a reality check. At least they count the blood of the Messiah an unholy thing and trample it under their self-righteous feet as they grind man into a literal pile of spiritual dust by their own justification. Listen, folks, when you point your finger, remember you got a few pointing back at you. Look in the mirror for yourself. Some men and women, I don't know how they sleep at night, by their actions and their deeds. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, he just took it out of your hands. Now, to trust him, to lay all of your righteousness or self-righteousness or all of your deeds, whether they be good or bad, doesn't matter, because it's not of yourself. Come to him and accept the gift of Yahweh. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh yeah, you're going to have works after you get saved. But they're going to be works of righteousness, not works of self-righteousness. And there is a difference. You're going to quit going out into the public and praying in public to make your long prayers with your many words, thinking you're going to be heard and chosen to lead the prayer next time. I used to remember back in the bell box churches, as people come up to pray, and it sounded like a bunch of foxhounds on the trail of a fox. Satan is a crafty one to get you to think it's your words that will draw you nigh. It's your heart, ladies and gentlemen. He's not interested in your words. With your mouth you draw near, but your heart's far from him. He's looking for your heart. And by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Satan, your adversary, he's a roaring lion. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. So be sober. Be vigilant. And remember, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or not one tittle shall no wise pass, because that law is for that unruly and sinful flesh man to keep him in check. But that grace abounds when sin abounds. grace doth much more abound. When you fall short, don't despair, don't give up, don't be condemned. Come to him. There he is. He sees his blood, he sees his righteousness, and he looks beyond your faults just to see your needs. Isn't he wonderful, ladies and gentlemen? We're told in the Bible repeatedly that our Creator, the lawgiver, and our Savior told us that if we would love him, and ladies and gentlemen, how can you love someone that you can't pay a debt for? There's no way you can pay him back. So then you accept it freely because it was freely given. And for everyone that will accept him, who are in the family of Jacob Israel, he will love you and he will cover you with that precious blood that was shed from the foundation of the world. That drop of blood just for you will be the diamond in the rough. Your flesh man will never stand before him anyway. You'll drop that old flesh body. You will, even to those that remain at his coming, they shall drop the flesh man, that body of sin, that unruly member, will drop to the earth. And if you're worthy, if you've accepted him in the free pardon of sin, the legal law keepers who cannot keep it but teach the law and deny the grace, speak evil of the Apostle Paul and the Messiah, saying that he escaped the crucifixion and didn't raise. And if he didn't raise, ladies and gentlemen, it's quite clear that you're still in your sins. And there's no law that you can keep that will justify you in the end. There'll be none saved. If Christ didn't come to die for you, if the law is still in effect before the inward man, then he died in vain. And you're still in your sins. You don't have a hope. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some exciting news to share with you tonight and all of our listeners around WWCR, Shepherd's Call Radio Network with Pastor Buddy. My, how we've had an exciting week. You can hear Pastor Buddy on WWRB on Friday night at 11 p.m. with Brother Randall on WWRB 3.185. That's on Friday night. And then on Saturday night on WWRB 3.185, Pastor Buddy just started last night a new one-hour radio program. We're very excited about being on WWRB around the world, centrally located right here in the great state of Tennessee, where we have two giants of the industry. WWRB is one of the strongest shortwave radio stations on the planet. And I have an hour on Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That will be 7 p.m. on the Central Scale. And it will be 6 o'clock in the Western Time Gate. And the far west, it will be at 5 o'clock. So then, tune in to Pastor Buddy and WWRB Radio Shortwave. They don't have internet facilities, but if you've got a shortwave, dust it off and come out and listen to Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call on Saturday night. And we will preach you exciting series of messages. Last night we preached on the warfare that we must wage to enter heaven. It is a warfare, ladies and gentlemen. Satan, your enemy, you're a soldier. And you put on the armor. This is the armor of faith and the helmet of salvation. And you wear it proudly, standing up, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and calling upon the name of Yahweh. If you'd like to write me tonight, and I urge you to do so, if you'd like to have this series of faith and grace versus the legalism of the law and the difference between the two covenants, just write Pastor Buddy tonight. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, in Tennessee. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, down in New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live, and that would be on 423-626-2172, and that's 423-626-2172. I've enjoyed being with you. I've got to get out of here. The old clock on the wall has caught up with me. I just wish that I'd have, like, a couple hours to get into this and do it justice, and I've had to rush through this. But I love you very much. And may Yahweh's richest blessings be upon your sanctified and saved soul. May your flesh men become obedient as he struggles and strives to enter into the kingdom. May the glory of Yahweh rest mightily upon the heads of all the anointed saints. And Yahweh really knows them that are his. If you're downcast and trodden tonight, and if you're struggling to find the key to salvation, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh will bless you coming, and he will certainly, most certainly, bless you leaving. When the last thing leaves this body, the spirit man, you can go back to Yahweh, who has stood in for you, and his blood made you nigh by the old rugged tree that he hung on. Oh, hallelujah. I'll see you next Friday night with Brother Randall on WWRB 3.185. Next Saturday night, 3.185 WWRB, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. And then next Sunday night, live on WWCR around the world with Pastor Buddy. Yahweh bless you.